This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
If I were you, show the best podcast around, yeah, the best podcast around, well, you can't forget about Werewolf. They got quite a few podcasts too, but back to If I Were You, yeah, well, you can't forget your mom's house.
Stop.
Can't forget the crowd.
Don't.
I don't can trust some family.
Don't go rogue.
Bang in the rope.
Now rogue right now.
Yo. These are funny shows. You got brain drop fun on a rainy day.
No, you're off script.
Keeping the vibes out of play. The ragged flag and half masks. These are all funnier podcasts.
Ass.
We were trolled. We were trolled in the intro.
Yeah, that was an amazing song, but he was just sort of listing off other podcasts that are funnier than ours.
Right, which hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but he was also a good singer, so it was like nice to at least be acknowledged by him.
At least he was talented about it.
This song was actually submitted 2 years ago, so I'm hoping we didn't use it. Did it sound familiar to you?
No, but if you played a song from last month, it probably wouldn't have sounded familiar to me either. So we'll find out.
So that was by Taylor Van Cleve, who says he's 19 years old and on the latest season of American Idol.
Nice. Wait, like he's on it as if he's like... he's watching it like he's up to that one, like he's just enjoying it.
I'm on episode 6 of American Idol, so don't spoil it for me if you know what happens in episode 7. I can't sing for shit, so I'm not actually on the show, but I'm pretty interested in who wins this
so
year.
So if he's on American Idol 2 years ago, we could find out like how he did, right?
Yeah, it's Taylor Van Cleve. And his Instagram is Taylor Van Cleve Official. So yeah, let's see. There's got to be like a American Idol wiki out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that show is still on. It was the most popular thing like 20 years ago. And it's still chugging along. Did you used to watch it?
Look, he's not on the Wikipedia for the show. But wait, that might be for season 19.
Yeah, this might be a season 17 or 18 guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for me to find Taylor Van Cleve. And it's not because American Idol's not huge and he's not famous. It's just like there were so many of them.
Yeah.
That I don't.
Did you used to watch this show like when it first came out and it was the biggest deal possible? Do you remember like watching with your family and or your friends?
Yeah, I remember watching with, I watched with the family. I voted. No, I didn't vote, but I was invested.
I campaigned for Clay Aiken.
I knocked on doors for Ruben Studdard and Justin Guarini. I cared who won the first, I think maybe up to 3 seasons. Like,
wow.
I gave a shit about number 1, 2. And then there was one of the guys named Taylor Hicks. Did he win?
Yeah. There was like
in
a,
what season?
A gray-haired man named Taylor Hicks. It had to have been early on.
Right.
What year?
That was when I stopped caring. When Taylor Hicks won, I peaked.
In high school. Yeah, Taylor Hicks won in 2006. And
Hicks won in 06. '06. Guarini won in 2003.
He was at 29 years old, a silver fox, became the oldest contestant to win American Idol. And also, there were 200 million people watching worldwide. My God.
Jesus Christ.
Imagine that, a television show that 200 million people, just to see a star was
and
born.
Where is he now? He's not fucking, he's not even the top result when I type Taylor HI into Google. Yeah. That accolade belongs to Taylor Hill, who's somebody else that I don't know.
It belongs to Taysom Hill, the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, these people are supposed to be, we're like the biggest music deals for a week. How did that not, you know, propel them into superstardom?
I mean, at a certain point, the show just became about, like, you were famous during the show. It's like, I watched your season of the show, you won, and now we move on. It's like watching an episode of Jeopardy or something.
Right.
but it was Kelly Clarkson, really, she won the lottery. She's still famous. She has like a talk show, doesn't she? God, Taylor Hicks has 54,000 Twitter followers.
54,000? That's nothing.
Yeah. It's nothing.
Did Kelly Clarkson win the first time?
I think she won the first season.
Wow, yeah, and she's still famous, right? She has a talk show.
Yeah, she's still got it. She's behind these hazel eyes. She had fucking jams after the fact, you know? Like,
that's cool.
She made popular music after the show. I can't think of anybody else that did that. Unless, did Drake win season six?
No. We just went over this. Hicks won season six.
Hicks won six. Yeah. Drizzy came in fifthy.
And in 23rd Zizzy.
There probably are people that were on this show that got famous afterwards that we don't know about because they didn't necessarily break through because of American Idol, but they're famous in their own right post. Does that make sense?
I see. Yeah.
Because it takes talent to get there.
Right. And to be through to Hollywood for sure takes talent. Okay, can you guess who the like when we were watching, it was Simon, you know, the surly British guy, Randy mm-hmm. Jackson, that's a no from me dog, and that's Paula right. Abdul, right?
Yeah, she was positive, a little kooky, but
yeah.
You know, do you think
do you think any of them are still the hosts?
I actually think I know the answer to this question.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I believe it made news this year that all three of them are back for the first time hosting season 19.
Wow. Hot damn.
Am I right?
What I can see, maybe they're coming back next year, because according to this article that I just found, the judges were Lionel Richie, Katy Perry, and Luke Bryan. So maybe...
Who is maybe Luke they didn't Bryan? Do well.
Nothing we've said so far matters, but that one especially doesn't matter. Look, we're gotten so far away from everything. Who is Luke Bryan?
I'm looking at a photo of him and I still don't know.
He's a country music star. There you go.
So he's insanely famous. Country music stars I know absolutely jack shit about.
Wow. Yeah. This guy could be the number one country music star in the world, and might be, and we just have
no idea. He likely is.
Yeah. All right, so shout out to Taylor Van Cleve / Taylor Hicks, all the way down to Luke Bryan for submitting that theme song for this, the If I Were You podcast, the only advice podcast on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I am Jake.
We got one question about post-pandemic hairstyle that I feel like you're perfectly equipped to answer, because he sent us photos and his hair is almost identical to yours. It's like you guys both started and ended at the same exact length.
He's got a nice flow.
Yeah, he's got the Trevor Lawrence locks. He can be a quarterback.
Who's Trevor Lawrence? Oh, yeah. He does have the Trevor Lawrence locks for sure. Yeah.
He's the number one draft pick out of Clemson.
Yeah, but gonna play. No, as soon as you said long-haired quarterback, I got him. He came.
So here's this guy's
immediately went to my head.
We'll call this guy Trevor Lawrence because he's a single 24-year-old man emerging from the strict confines of pandemic lockdown, and his devotion to protecting his humanity has left me unkempt. My most recent haircut took place in February of 2020. Is that the same as you?
Respect. I believe I got my haircut maybe in February, maybe in March. It was pretty late. It was right before lockdown. So it was well-timed.
Okay. And then, while I was never particularly impressed by my hair, it's straight and red, I feel as though I have a blank canvas to work with given the length of my locks. So what hairstyle should a ginger bachelor like me get that will grab positive attention? Jake, you've pulled off many a stylish cut, that of Aladdin from Jafar. Is there hope for me? See attached pics. And then the pics are indeed very long, straight, reddish, strawberry-ish,
shoulder length,
strawberry-ish blondish
really
hair.
Similar to my hair coloring and length. It's a little longer, and it's completely straight, whereas I've got some waves.
So this I guy could feel be like your I'm cousin. Equipped.
Yeah, definitely. You guys, definitely.
Yeah, similar eyes and nose, too. Jesus. Mm-hmm. This guy
one
could
of the
have
Washington
been...
State Hurwitzes, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got that West Coast energy.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your plan and what should this guy's plan be? I mean, you can't grow it forever.
My plan is to grow it either down to my ass crack or until I wake up and Jill has cut it while I've been sleeping, which I feel like is possible. Like she's nearing a breaking point for sure.
Oh, already. Yeah. Because you're a year and a half in and it's about a foot long. And in your mind, the end goal is like, what, 3 years away? Because it has to grow for another 2-3 feet.
I would ideally like to cut my hair, I don't know, around the holidays or something.
Oh, I see. I want to have a nice long debut hair. Moment.
I want to have a long hair summer. I definitely want to have a long hair summer. I worked for this. I waited for this. I asked God for this. I prayed for this. And it's been delivered.
On a silver platter. And a silver hatter.
In the form of a pandemic, actually. It's like I fucking willed this into existence.
This was the best year of my life.
God knew that I needed to hibernate inside because I didn't have the huevos. I was too vain to go outside with that mid-length hair, that awkward phase.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I really don't remember what last summer was at all, just in terms of a pandemic. That's all just blending into 1 month. But I really don't remember what we looked like, in September of last year, like nine months ago.
I look at photos and I'm like, oh my God, my hair is so short. But I remember at the time I was like, my hair is getting long. So
yeah, it was like,
it's all relative, baby. Yeah. I had bangs in the summer. She bangs. She bangs. Nice. That was another American Idol. Remember,
did Ricky Martin win? Wait, what was it? William Hung.
William Hung.
He went to my college while I was there.
And he was, you could get, the American Idol was so famous that you could get famous from being bad on it also. You didn't have to be good. You could be so bad that you become William Hung.
He was just sweet, so everyone loved him. And then like we would like see him on campus.
A nice
like, oh, there's William
monotone
Hung.
Guy that wanted to try it up for American Idol.
Where's William Hung right now? That's what I have to add.
Right, let's find out if he has more Twitter followers than Taylor Hicks. That's what I need to know. And then I'll give this guy hair advice.
Yeah. How many? William Hung on Instagram. Wow. He's a. This is perfect. Oh, this is great. Good news. He's a life and confidence coach and a pro poker player.
Yes. That's awesome.
William Hung Official has 211 followers.
Whoa. 200? Oh, wait.
No, I'm just joking. He has 4,200 followers.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 211,000.
Oh, no,
so,
no.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, two unimpressive numbers.
And you better fucking believe he's on Cameo.
That's awesome. How much do you think it would be... to get him to sing She Bangs.
William Hung Cameo. I could tell you exactly how much it would cost. $30. Okay. $30.
That's pretty good. Oh, she bangs, she bangs. Oh, baby, when she moves, she moves. I go crazy.
Yeah, we can give him like a If I Were You theme song to perform.
That's awesome. Cool. I'm happy for William Hung. Okay, so for this guy...
Yeah, what does this guy do? Oh, I was thinking that how like we look at photos of like the 60s and everyone had a crew cut, and then in the 70s everyone had long hair, like that was the sign of the times. I think like in like 20, 30 years will be able to focus and like notice exactly when the pandemic was, because everyone before it will have short haircuts and then everyone after it will have long haircuts. It'll like define what the pandemic was.
I like read an article about like for like men's hairstyles for this summer, and it's a lot of exactly what I'm doing now. Just like long swept back hair, just like guys that didn't get haircuts and let their hair grow and are now kind of like into it.
That's, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of us this summer. I've seen it on a lot of my friends as well. Yeah. See it on my brother.
This guy cannot grow a beard, it seems, though. So there's a little difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I would debut the long hair. Be part of the grand reopening with the flow.
Pony?
I liked the way his hair looked down. I think he could test out something like a low pony instead of a high pony. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not a man bun or anything like that.
So not like high and tight, not like pulled back, but yeah, just sort of like behind the ears, but like gathered into a low pony, like Matthew McConaughey in True Detective, that style.
Yeah. Greasy underneath, like his neck being sweaty, and it sort of makes his hair
wet. Nine cans of Bud Light crushed up around you and torn apart into little dolls.
What was the name of that evil guy in that season where he's like, and then that's when I met, and it was like this very evil name. Do you remember? Yeah. Rusty LaRue or something?
Oh, yeah.
Dusty LaRue.
Isn't it like Reggie LaRue?
Yeah.
Reggie LaRue.
That was a great season of television. And really a great time in our lives.
That was the year we moved, 2014. It was when we moved to LA, right? I remember watching it in the Mikkelturena house.
Yeah. All right, so True Detective style, Matthew McConaughey level.
Mm-hmm. The hair. Another one is the kid from, I think it's not Vikings, it's, Last Kingdom, the Ragnar Ragnarsson look, which is like...
What is that?
It's super long on top and basically buzzed on the sides, pulled back into a pony.
Whoa.
It's really intense. It's like a Viking. I mean, like, you could get a Viking haircut. If you just Google Viking haircut, you will see what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Don't you have to be big to be... You never see, like, a scrawny, pale Viking. Like the.
Are you calling this guy scrawny and pale?
No, but
because like, you also said he looked like me. You said he looked like a cousin of mine. And then you said you never see a scrawny and pale Viking. I'm just wondering what you meant.
I guess when I think of Vikings, sort of, I think of like...
With that train of thought, I'm curious what
I'm
your intention
answering
is.
You.
Yeah, I know your I'm answer, but I want you to slow down and I want you to tread lightly. I want you to tread lightly.
When I think of Vikings, they're always like six, like linebackers, like 6'6", 240
big,
pounds. Yeah.
Big, strong.
You never see like short, like I can't imagine that there's a Viking my height. That doesn't really jive with my mental definition of what a Viking is.
In terms of him looking like me and this advice, like, is it connected? Are you calling me thin? Is what I'm asking.
I wasn't, but now I kind of do, just because it seems like it
would... Now I kind of Reggie LaRue, don't you?
Nice. Reggie LaRue. I got to watch that show again.
Yeah.
Been too long.
This is Carcosa.
I'm more of a True Detective season 3 fan. That's when the show really
hit its
stride.
Can you really even name who was in it in season 3?
No, they botched 2 so much that I stopped watching and then stopped, didn't even watch 3 entirely.
I remember season 2 was so bad that I was like, I will watch season 3 if I hear it's good. I wasn't going to watch it myself, but I didn't check out. I was like, I'll wait and hear what they say.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear good things.
Yeah.
So I'm out.
Well, it was like a complete anthology, right? Like season 2 was like completely different actors, characters, and story. So it's like, oh, it has nothing to do with season 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take a break. Thank some sponsors. Answer some more questions on the other side of these messages.
Yeah.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Gracias.
Very Babbel. Good. I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I'm already bilingual.
Really?
Yep. I grew up in a Hebrew-speaking household.
Ken.
Lamadti ivrit bebayit. That means I learned Hebrew at home.
Mm.
The best way to learn a language
is through immersion.
Yes.
But if your parents aren't actually from a different country and constantly speaking to you in that language, how do you immerse yourself?
You're not going
to
get immersed, folks.
The best way to do so is by using Babbel.
Babbel.
It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Ooh.
You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tutoring, okay?
Yeah.
You can just spend 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by 200 language experts that help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Incredible.
I need this because, you know, I already got the Hebrew. I want to go French. I want to go Spanish.
You should go full French. Let's go full French on your rap.
French. Let's French. Let's French. bonjour indeed.
Oui, oui.
How about a special limited time offer for our listeners? Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
Whoa.
But you got to go to babbel.com/segments. That's 55% off babbel.com/segments, spelled babbel.com/segments.
Segments, and segments is spelled S-H-A-N-M-S-L-N.
You are illiterate in English.
Yeah.
So I say throw English away. That's not going to happen for you.
I'll go full French.
Go to Italian.
I'll go Italian.
Go to German.
Yes, I will
and
go
I'll
to German.
And I'll meet you there.
Yes, guten Tag.
Thank you. Rules and restrictions may apply indeed. But again, you can get 55% off at Babbel, babbel.com/segments.
Love it.
Ciao.
Adios.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Mom, I'm coming!
Gross.
I actually don't, but I'm curious because I think you do.
Yeah, mine is more what I've been doing this pandemic, and now it's starting to bleed out of the pandemic, which is playing tennis again. I've been playing tennis with Amir Cohen once a week.
Wow. When did you start?
I think we started almost a year ago, not quite at the way beginning of the pandemic, but sometime last summer, because I was like, oh, way to get exercise, distanced, outdoors. You can potentially wear a mask if necessary. And then we've been keeping it up every week. And it's fun to have like a standing appointment. So like every Tuesday at 9 a.m., we make a reservation to play tennis. We even took 2 tennis lessons. His wife... Shout out to Jenna, gave him 2 tennis lessons for Father's Day. So I just tagged along and we took tennis lessons, and now we're just continuing to play.
What's your relationship with tennis as you, you know, from when you were a boy? Like, how long have you been playing?
I took lessons as a kid, so I wasn't starting from scratch. Like, I remember going to, like, tennis camps and, like, when I was 10 and stuff like that. But I was never very good. And then I just stopped playing entirely in high school all the way up until, like, I would play, like, sporadically in New York, but not really anything consistent. And then in LA, you could play 12 months out of the year. There's no, like, there's no season where you can't play tennis. So I've just been playing tennis since I've been back.
It's interesting, because I also played tennis this weekend. I'm a tennis fan. I went home to Connecticut to visit my parents for Father's Day, and there's courts, like, in Connecticut, they're everywhere.
Yeah, every intersection is technically a tennis court in Connecticut.
Yeah, it has to be by law, but we just played it at high school.
Oh, wow. So you used to play, like, semi-competitive high school tennis.
I technically played college tennis.
So that means you're pretty good, right? Like, you weren't bad. You can't be as bad as me and play college tennis, I don't think.
I was the worst or second to worst player on the team at college. So I was good enough for that. But I don't think I won a match, and I was pretty bad.
Do you think you're better than me right now? I have been playing once a week for a year. You played in college, but not really since.
No, I'm not. Because I've played over the last two summers, I will fuck around and I'll play with my brother. Like, I think I've played in the last year, I've probably played tennis like maybe half a dozen times. Actually, maybe last summer, you know, maybe 10 times, but whatever. There's some things that are hardwired in my brain. Like, I think I could ace you a couple times.
Oh, you're a good server. Really?
And it hasn't gone away. And I was always a good server. And I just, like, whatever it was when I was a kid, I, like, got that motion down. And I haven't forgotten it. But sometimes when I'm, like, waiting for the ball to come to my forehand, I have some kind of, like, weird twitch. And I forget how to hit it for a second. And I'll just absolutely shank it straight up. So playing tennis for me is really weird because it's, like, sometimes I can go on autopilot and, like, you know, hit a few volleys and ground strokes and it, like, all feels right. But then just, like, in one moment, I totally forget what I'm doing. So I think you would beat me because you've been playing more consistently, but I think I'd surprise you a couple times.
This would be a great video, is us playing. We've never played tennis together, I don't think.
That's the weirdest thing, too, because, like, you and I, we do everything together. And two people growing up on, like, opposite coasts that have basically everything in common, including a sport that we grew up playing, but we never ever played it. That's bizarre.
We gotta play tennis for $10,000 on video.
I love that. And it'll be live in the middle of the country. Meet me in Lebanon, Kansas in July.
Yeah.
Do you think your
serve? I think I've gotten better. How accurate is your serve? Like, you're talking about your awesome serves. Like, are those first serves going in, like, 50% of the time, more or less?
Oh, wow. I think, honestly, I mean, right now, probably less than 50% of the time.
Okay, that's good. That's a good start for me.
Yeah, 25% of the time. Like, I think I can, in a game, I can win 2 points off of my serve.
And then
it's not enough.
And how's your second serve? Are you getting it in most of the time just slower?
Yeah, my second serve absolutely sucks. But, like, I have, I'm too scared of double faulting. So I'll just dink that second serve over.
Yeah. And then it's a layup. Yeah. Any return is going to be good.
Right. And I mean, it's also like, I don't think I'm playing with it. So far, I haven't been playing with anybody that's so good that I can't just dink my serve. No one's putting it away. I'm not getting joke with it out there. I've got a serve and volley game. I play a Sampras style, 90s style play. What's yours?
Yeah, I like to stay in the back, sort of ease you over to one side of the court, and then I'll use my inside out forehand, maybe a topspin or a back slice backhand to sort of lure you in and
out. One arm backhand, or is it two handed backhand?
It's a two handed backhand, unless two-handed. I'm slicing it. Then I'll do that semi volley, sort of cut down the ball, depending on where you are on the court. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm just like going to try slice. To work. Yeah, one second. I'm trying work to like you work you right? to the net. Yeah, yeah
left don't tell me right. one second. We're having a back and second. Forth if conversation. If you approach the don't net, tell me one second.
I will lob. I have enough topspin to lob that over.
You think and I'm you have? You think kissing you can hit me with a topspin lob? Yeah. No, you don't know. You don't know the reach I have. You don't know the reach I have. People try to lob me. People don't. They try to lob me. I'll pick that shit out of the sky. Don't you worry about that. And I'll hammer it home straight at your feet too, right down your throat.
I've never been aced or had a winner against me. I'm like a brick wall back there diving for shit. I will break my fucking sternum.
I've gone through a brick wall. Okay, I've gone through a brick wall before.
How's your grunting?
My grunt, it's bad, but I will. When I played my brother last week, I hit a drop shot and then I started giggling like a little gnome and that made him laugh. Good. So that was good.
How's Micah at tennis?
He's good. We had a really good game. He was beating me 4-1. Came back. I stormed back. I went up 5-4. Then he ended up winning 7-5.
In a tiebreaker. That's how serious.
It didn't get to a tie. We didn't get to a tiebreaker. It was devastating, but it was also insanely hot. And I think by the end, I was like, it was like mercy that we didn't go to a tiebreaker. It was really hot. Who wins more, you or Cohen?
I win, but it helps that his shoulder is kind of injured, so he can't really serve it very fast at all. So I sort of take advantage of that. If you should
What's
have any
strong
injuries,
stroke,
It used to be backhand, but now my forehand is more accurate. I'm pretty good at hitting a top spin forehand.
Interesting. Yeah.
When we were taking lessons, at one point I asked the guy, I'm like, can you serve against us like as hard as you can? I just want to see what it's like. Because he like grew up playing semi-professional tennis in high school and college and it got injured. So he just turned into a tennis instructor. But I'm like, I want to see what it's like to like, you know, stare down a kind of good tennis player. Like, do you remember playing a great tennis player in college? I'm sure there were really good ones against you.
Yeah, definitely. I remember just like getting your racket on the serve was all you could really hope for. Just use the force to send it back.
So he was like, depending on where we would stand, like ace us to the left or right. And then he's like, okay, I won't ace you this time. Like he could literally like choose where to hit it past us. And then he's like, all right, I'll try to hit it towards you. And then he would like flat hit it towards us to the point where like we had to like duck out of the way because it was coming at us so fast. It was so scary and funny.
That's awesome. I do remember doing like that being a trick up your sleeve that like you, most of the time you're slicing it, but if like you feel like someone's standing too far to one side, you can just hit it flat straight down the line.
Yeah, I can't do that. That's like next level shit.
How often does your first serve go in and are you hammering it?
Sometimes I'll go for the hammer and that's like less than 10%. Like I'm just fucking wildly. I'm like, if this goes in, it'll look
just
awesome.
Throwing
but
up
odds are, like it might fly out of the court or just go straight down into the ground. Like that's how non-focused I am. My aim is that off. And then the less power I take. Yeah.
How long are your points?
I would say at most 5 to 7 hits per side.
Okay. That's like the most.
Yeah. That's like,
but you're not like, I feel like when you're bad, it's like, okay, you're either double faulting or if I get it over, you're hitting it into the net, you know, like the 2 or 3 point rallies. That's not fun, but you're getting it over consistently.
Yeah. Getting it over consistently. And then if I'm like, you know, I need to win, I'm like not going for any speed or any accuracy.
You're just backboarding.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to make the other person make an unforced error.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would hate playing you. We would be playing like ping pong.
That's right. Long, slow shots. Whereas like I could, even if I hit you all the way to the right and then hit you all the way to the left, you can get there because my pace is so slow because I'm so scared of missing. So I'm never going for anything that exciting.
That's how I play too. Terrified of missing, which ends up making you miss more.
Yeah, I guess you're supposed to just hit it as hard as you can and then work on the accuracy later. And I do the opposite. Yeah. I'm like hitting it as soft as I can and I'm building up the strength.
Right. I think that, because like when you're young, there's a hopper of balls and you're hitting them all over and it's okay. But when you're like, when we're old and we're playing, it's like, I can't just like, wail on these balls because I'll miss three in a row and we'll have to walk and get them and I'll feel bad.
Then we have to go home because I only brought three balls instead of a fucking basket filled with 300 of them. All right, we'll play tennis next time you're out here or I'm out there.
Oh, I'd love that.
I'm actually looking into a few mansions with a tennis court to purchase.
That's nice.
So it's like a tennis court, basketball.
Did you come into money somehow?
No, I'm just browsing for now, looking at places that are a little out of my comfort zone. There's this, I was meant to send you an $11 million palace and gated community in Calabasas.
I see that. And I'm still waiting on your notes for like a script. We need you to weigh in on some podcast cuts.
This one is really, really nice.
I just feel
$13 million, but I can put in a low ball of $7,400 and see if they bite. Because a lot of these things are priced too high.
That wouldn't pay for rent in this place.
Yeah, but I really need the tennis court now that I got the itch. So I'm slowly figuring that whole thing out. But yeah,
I troll Zillow a lot, and there was near my parents' house in Connecticut just a straight up tennis court for sale. No house. It was just land that was for sale, but the land was improved by having had a tennis court built on it.
And now it's just land that you have to build the house, but the tennis court is there.
The tennis court's done though. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's an easy thing. It's like a slab of concrete in this fucking forest that you bought. How about you make the house and I'll deal with the tennis court? That's
the
easy part.
The court is all.
Yeah.
There's
no net. You'll have to still install a net.
You can't get your own net. I have to do everything.
I wonder if there's a town small enough that I can buy a house with a tennis court in it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Like, also, I mean, if you move to rural Idaho.
If you move to rural Idaho, there's going to be free tennis courts everywhere. The cities are where it's hard to play tennis. Like in LA, you have to reserve a court. In New York, you have to show up before the sun comes up if you want to play. But like when I played at home, it's just, you just stroll on. It's an unlocked gate. What kind of racket do you have?
That's a good question, because I bought a really cheap one on Amazon about a year ago, and I never really did any research, and I still am using it, but I should probably upgrade my racket game. It was like a $19 Wilson or something.
Oh my God.
So before we play, I think I'm going to have to go tennis racket shopping, maybe restring mine, get a shock absorber and some Pro-Pen balls so that when we do play, I don't have any excuses as to why I'm not whipping your ass up and down the court. And I will be spending top dollar on a tennis bag.
Don't forget a shock absorber. Don't forget a shock absorber. You don't want to sleep on that shit.
And I want to get it re-gripped, actually. So I'm going to get mine re-gripped, restrung, shock absorber, Wilson frame, $399. And did I mention I have a bag that is shaped like a tennis fucking racket? And inside
is it a tennis racket?
Inside is one racket and 20 sandwiches because I can't actually afford any more rackets. I spent it all in the bag. Oh,
we really?
And my pants, they're Rafa Nadal circa 2005 style capris, and I am wearing a muscle tee and a headband, and I'm going to beat you lefty.
Vamos, Blumenfeld.
Vamos. And I'll bring a fucking coach. And I'm not allowed to look at him, or that's illegal. All right, so stay tuned for the details of that tennis matchup.
Yes, fuck.
A lot on the line. Actually, maybe too much on the line.
$10,000.
I know.
Which will buy you a tennis court in rural Idaho.
It's just that I put in a few offers on some really nice estates out here, and I need to be as liquid as possible. So I don't know if I can tie any of my free little $10,000 into these matches that you have planned. All right, let's try to answer another question.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Open marriage, I think. This is pretty good.
Nice.
We'll call this guy Owen Marriage. Hey, y'all, I'm Owen. I'm 27 years old and I've been married for 4 years. Lately, my wife has been making lots of jokes and comments regarding an open marriage, but we've never had a serious conversation about it. However, we were recently on vacation and I asked her if she would care if I slept with other people. And she says, I really don't think I would. I'm not that type of girl. My question is, was that a green light to go for it? Or do we have to have a formal conversation? Love, Owen. I mean, you know, the casual light hypothetical I asked you about? I fucking took you up on that offer. What?
Yeah. I said I didn't think
I would care. And now you have a girlfriend.
And I have a kid. I have a mistress.
I would think you have to have a more formal conversation indeed. But it seems like the formal conversation is trending in your favor if you want the open marriage.
It's a green light to have the conversation is what this is. Because you can't spring it out of nowhere and be like, hey, we have to have a formal conversation about having an open marriage. But you make a joke, she's receptive, then it's on the table. But this was not, you didn't have the conversation yet. Let's be clear.
No.
Yes. And it turns out it could very easily turn out that, like, you know, when the pedal's to the metal or when the rubber hits the road or whatever the phrasing is, she's less into it than you are as you're like joking on vacation, which is kind of a lighthearted, fun vibe.
When push comes to shove, you can't just bring home a lady and be like, you don't remember you said, I really don't think I'd mind. This is Haley.
You're making Haley feel uncomfortable.
I think you really said you didn't think you would mind. So here we are. I would say you can have the talk if you really, really want it. But you have to be prepared to, you know, have your wife also be down to clown with other dudes if necessary.
Yeah. It's a two-way street, bro.
Actually, if you can just figure out a way to make it a one-way thing, that way you can sort of...
Then it's ideal for you.
Be open in a way, which is what I'm sort of dealing with. I caught my lover in flagrante delicto, red-handed as it were, and she...
I've never heard that phrase before in my entire life.
That's how she sort of phrased it. It was this Italian guy, and he was like, I don't know, throwing some weird terminology at me. Retroactively, delicto? He was asking me...
Did you say... what was it?
It was in flagrante delicto.
What is that?
It was so fucked up because it got to the point where I felt like I was the bad guy, if that makes sense. Yeah, I guess. It's being caught in the act of wrongdoing in an act of sexual misconduct. So this guy's fucking moving in, basically, and I caught him red-handed as he was... Not packing his bags, but
you
basically
caught him
bringing
moving.
It back.
That's not, you didn't catch him. I think you wanted to be caught. He was moving in.
Yeah.
They caught you off guard.
Yes. That's what I should have said. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do you mind talking to this fucker? He's like so
in
passionate.
Your bedroom?
He's in there now. They said, why don't you go record a fucking show? And I'm like, you mean a podcast, honey? So that's what I'm up to.
And then you did. And then you did it. Then you texted me and said, can you record now? And here we are. God, you're a pushover.
In a way. All right, let's take another break. Thanks some sponsors and come back with some more cues after these.
Nice.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah.
kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
Mm, that's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. Starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, quasi-legal,
dangerous
subscriptions that Rocket Money found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we are back. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This one is from a lawyer in Australia, which is kind of cool to think about. I didn't realize they have those down there. I thought everyone
didn't know they
was
had laws.
Kind of cool, right, mate? I'll just we'll figure it out.
I thought you'd get it sorted, mate. Yeah.
It's all right, yeah. I hit you with a car. Yeah. We don't have to get legal involved. Legalese and all that. Yeah, mate.
You're all right, mate.
There's no doctors or lawyers here. There's just a couple of blokes playing knifey spoony. You call that a lawyer? This is a lawyer.
Pulls out Patrick Rafter.
All right, that's a good question. That's a good name for this Australian lawyer. We'll call him Patrick Rafter.
How many times has Patrick Rafter made an appearance in our podcast? It feels like a lot.
I wonder if we can get him. Like, he's clearly not up to anything, right?
I don't know. God, he was so hot. He was so hot.
I wonder if he's on Cameo too.
Patrick. I mean, I don't even think he's on social media. That's awesome.
Yeah, he is like over 50.
Or maybe Google just didn't show me. Yeah. He's not fucking there.
Yeah.
There's somebody named Dr. Patrick Rafter, and that's not him.
No.
And yeah, on Instagram, it's just a Patrick Rafter hashtag, man. I mean, my God, how could we even reach out to Rafter? We'd have to go to the ATP,
Philippoussis
board or something.
Maybe we go in through Leighton Hewitt or something that way. Getting at him from the side.
To fucking Leighton Hewitt to reach out to Rafter.
I'm talking to Bjorn Borg's manager.
Borg put in a good warg?
Mr. Borg, can I have a warg? And after we can talk Rafter. How the hell are you? Ball hits me in the side of the head.
Michael Chang, my man. How's it going?
My freshman year college roommate was a huge tennis player and a Michael Chang fan. And he had a Michael Chang poster because he was kind of a short tennis player, and like Michael Chang was his inspiration. That guy was really good at tennis. He would kick both of our asses. Shout out to Boris.
Definitely. Oh, I thought you were talking about Michael Chang.
Oh, no. Yeah, my roommate. I think my roommate was named after Boris Becker, even though he was Asian. So it was like an Asian Boris tennis player.
Respect.
All right. We'll call this guy Patrick Rafter. In January of this year, I started a new job at a mid-tier firm with various departments and a staff around 25. Over the last 6 months, I've been plagued by one particular staff member in her 60s. In the conveyancing team, I'm in commercial disputes. Mm. I don't know what that word is, but okay.
Sure, we don't have to know.
Yeah. I inherited my desk phone from a lawyer that worked closely with the conveyancers. So as I understand it, this staff member must be on autopilot, dialing my extension out of habit, then realizing the mistake and ending the call before I can pick up. The first time this happened, I answered, and we did the awkward routine of joking around. But in the following weeks, it continued to happen every couple days with her clearly realizing her mistake as soon as she called, because she would hang up. It really didn't bother me at the time, but this biddy is legit calling me 3 to 5 times a week, 6 months later. To clarify, it's always just one or two rings. I see her name flash on the phone, and then she hangs up. While only momentarily, it takes me out of the flow of my work and endlessly frustrates me that this old bag can't figure out a simple push of a button half a year later. I want to just do my job and get out, so I've never confronted her about this. To solve my problem, I've been considering a more clandestine approach in that I sneak into this colleague's open office space, find her desk, steal her phone. However, should I just poison her? My uncle is a chemist. I appreciate your coy guidance in my hour of need. Yours faithfully, Patrick Frickin' Rafter.
Okay, cool. So he wants our permission to poison his colleague.
Yeah, but keep in mind he's an Australian. Phone. Yeah, he's an Australian lawyer, so whatever.
So he can get himself out of it.
Yeah, he can figure it out, sort it out, mate. Push stiff upper lip and all that, yeah.
That reminds me of the animated thing we did for Stuck. Everyone should check it out if they haven't already.
Yeah, you can hear my voice work in our animated series on our Patreon. Yeah. I'm sort of a polyglot in terms of accent. I'm actually an accent coach, if you can believe
it.
So
way.
I'll sit on an accent couch.
You mixed two accents just now, like the British and the Australian. It's a stiff upper lip and all that with the Australian.
Right.
But show me Russian.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That was started out kind of Russian. It ended, I think,
can
like
I interest
Western.
You in a salmon?
I didn't even give you an accent to portray. You just were you still doing Russian or were you off?
I was doing like
another?
A Swedish, yeah. Alaska, like I moved to Sweden from Alaska.
From Alaska. Yeah.
Can I interest you in a salmon?
If you mix up the dialect that much, then yeah, it's almost meaningless, right? So let's just do straightforward Swedish.
Yeah.
You have to say more than that. You can't just be like, yo.
Yes. Thank you. I'm from there.
Okay, Brazil.
Oh, welcome, baby. Welcome.
You can't even think of something that they might say in Brazil. You say, welcome. Welcome, baby.
Welcome to my
do
home.
Do one close to home. Boston accent.
I'm from Boston, baby. Yeah. And I'm from outside Mass. You're putting me on the spot and it's like starting to now I'm like overthinking.
You said you were a dialect coach, so it's reasonable for me to put you on the spot cuz this is exactly what you do. You coach somebody.
But like I have to know the character. So don't just say you're from Boston, Lee, like you are this person from this place, and then I can sort of help. That'll help me guide
you're,
the actor.
You're a
which
bartender,
should be you, by the way. So
you're
you
a bartender.
Suck. Yeah.
I don't suck. You're a bartender in Scotland, okay? And somebody is trying to order a whiskey.
Okay.
Or a scotch, you know.
Bartender, hey. Okay. Dale here.
You're, by the way, you're the bartender.
I'm getting it to fucking character.
You're getting it to character. Okay.
Jesus Christ. You don't know scene work. Bartender, hey. What's your name?
Gah.
Okay, gah. I'm visiting from out of town. My my name is Dale. Pleasure to meet you, I guess. I've just been in
You're
and out of...
spending so much time on Dale.
I'm getting
like,
the
we already know
scene.
You know how to talk an American accent.
Yeah.
Just
I'm a doctor, you fucking idiot. Can I have a...
That's weird scene work.
What's it called? Right? What's it called? Do you see this move, by the way? Can I have a what's it called?
Yeah, I see. You good work.
It's scotch. It's just...
Okay.
Yeah. And then the guy barely talks. He's like kind of like one of those like Guy Ritchie's.
So
like,
you're not doing the accent. Right? You're not doing a Scottish. Well, I'm trying to get like you to do a Scottish accent. You said you needed a character. I gave you bartender. Then you went into a fucking weird side character named Dale, who's a doctor and can't name a fucking drink. I don't even think your scene work was strong as Dale. You like couldn't think of a drink and you tried to use that, but I don't think that was good acting.
You can have a whiskey, but you can't have my soul, son. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm from Scotland, and you can go kiss a guy.
That was actually really good.
That was, that was Dale's brother, who's from Ireland. Raj, who's in town. That was the bartender. He was
okay.
Like, yeah.
I was trying to give you a trapdoor out of the scene because you were floundering and you were too dumb to even take that. You just breezed past the exit ramp I gave you, right?
Yeah.
And now you're still trapped.
I don't need an exit ramp, lad. All I need is a pair of Killian's Irish bowling shoes.
Let's get out of here, man. This is clearly not. You're going through some shit, regardless of how good or bad my accent was.
I had a great day.
You hung me out to dry, baby.
No, I didn't. I gave you so many leaping off points. You sucked. Killian's Irish bowling shoes?
I can't do Scottish. I can do Hebrew, and I can do English.
It's two accents then, so you're not a coach.
Not accents. Languages.
You said for example, you were an accent coach.
Shalom. Shalom. Ani Amir.
You're pivoting.
So hello, I'm Amir.
This is a I wouldn't have challenged you on that. I knew that you could speak Hebrew.
Thank you. All right, let's call it it. We'll call it even then. So you got one thing wrong and I got the other.
Okay. This guy should just... Scene. That's right. Guy can go to work, go to your office and ask for a new phone. Say you want a new number. Say people are calling it looking for the old person and you need a new number. And you don't have to throw this lady under the bus. You say, I need a new phone. And if they won't give you a new phone, then you need a new desk. How many people did he say worked at this company? It was like 40 something?
Yeah, 60s. 25.
Oh, 25. Okay, that's enough people that you could reasonably ask for a new desk or a new phone if you need to.
Yeah, or you can block a number. How hard can that be? That happens all the time on my cell. Boom, get a spam call, block it. Boom, mom calling,
but this is a desk phone, right?
Yeah, a desk phone.
Well, if you can block it, that would be great, but I wonder if you really can.
In Australia, I think you could probably do anything. They have like all that kind of shit sorted out. Cause,
they all got it sorted, mate. You beat COVID, you can do anything, mate.
That's right. And I think Star 69 started in Australia as like a fucking sexual joke. It's like, Star 69, remember you call that to get the person who just called you? That was a really big deal. And I think it started in Australia. So
really?
Yeah, namaste, namaste, you're nasty. Figure it out without killing your fucking coworker. End of story.
End of story.
Oh, and if you're looking for something to drink, I highly recommend a piece of apple or pear cider right on the other side of the bar.
That's how you fucking do it.
Was that
That's how
still
you...
the bartender?
That was a Czech woman asking for a cider because she's in town for a fucking gynecological convention in from Prague and out tomorrow. But if you're thinking about Scottish, you're thinking about talking like this. End of story. I'm not fucking litigating.
You don't
this
have to be so
anymore.
You're being antagonistic about it. You're being defensive. And it's cuz you know that you're not good at it, I think. Deep down.
Deep down, I think I'm good. It's the problem is when you go a little past that, I'm starting to realize I might be second guessing my ass.
Follow my ass down the rabbit hole.
Yes, exactly. All right. So that's our show. Thanks for emailing us. Thanks for sending us your questions and your theme songs. The email address for all that jazz is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you're looking for more videos of us watching old Jake and Amir episodes, potentially watching other videos like our animated series Stuck, it's all on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Ja, damn right.
Opening theme song was Taylor Van Cleve, if I remember correctly. He was sort of trolling us in a way on the day, making us seem bad in terms of
other
podcasts. Yeah. Ultimately, we appreciated this. Closing theme song is by Seiji, and his song submission is, I guess it's an original. Nothing to plug, but please give me a shout out to my friend Jack, pronounced as it's spelled, of course. Toda.
Perfect.
So thank you, Seiji. Shout out to Jack. Thanks to you guys for listening. And as always, we'll be back next week.
Damn right.
Kiss off, why don't you? And welcome to Glasgow, you suffering fool.
Fuck me. I'm out.
Stop
that
trying.
Sucked.
Stop trying. God, that was bad. I don't even think you can do a regular fucking English accent.
Was a HeadGum original.